You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, the rural American experience has a lot more diversity than you might think. We'll look at new census data that paints a complex portrait of rural communities.
Right now, it's time for our weekly check-in on the latest in political news from Washington.
We're just a few weeks away from the inauguration of President-elect Donald Trump, but he's been facing criticism for saying he would not take daily intelligence briefings. We'll hear about reaction from critics and supporters.
President-elect Trump met with leaders in the technology industry today. We'll hear some of the backstory behind the meeting in just a bit and what might have come out of it. And Hillary Clinton's been making the rounds on Capitol Hill as Democrats urge the CIA to supply the electors with a briefing about an alleged Russian hacking scheme in this year's election. In just a bit, we'll be talking to Francesca Chambers, correspondent, White House correspondent for the Daily Mail, about those and some of the other big news stories in national political news. We lost her for just a minute there, hoping to bring her back on in the next few moments. And it looks like we've got her in just a sec. Again, we're going to take a look at some of the top political news stories, talk about security briefings for Donald Trump and more. In the meantime, head over to the Central Time Facebook page for some background information on the topics we'll be looking at today. Some ideas for leadership in a time of mega change. That's coming up in just over an hour. Four possible paths ahead for the Donald Trump presidency. Also a story on mandatory arbitration, some fine print that keeps people from suing consumers, employees, because they've signed their rights away, in effect.
We'll also be talking about rural America, taking a look at some surprising aspects of what being a rural American means. And the answer is there's not really one fixed answer to that question. And you can let us know if you want to share your experience, your reality of rural America. Maybe it's different than the popular conception. Let us know what that is. You can tell us your story about being a rural American on the Central Time Facebook page.
Looks like we're still having trouble reaching our guest for this segment. So we'll invite you to call in. What are you looking for from the Donald Trump presidency? Our number is 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. What issues are you watching in the news today? We have our guest Francesca Chambers on the line now. Francesca, hi.
Hi, thanks for having me.
All right, had a little trouble connecting with you. We've got you there. Let's jump right in now. Some of the news that dominated the rounds of this week: in an interview with Chris Wallace on Fox News, President-elect Trump was asked about receiving intelligence briefings as he transitions to the role of president. Here's a listen to that exchange.
I just want to ask you about your skepticism about the intelligence community. You are getting the presidential daily brief only once a week.
Well, I get it when I need it.
But is there some skepticism?
First of all, these are very good people that are giving me the briefings. And I say, if something should change from this point, immediately call me. I'm available on 1 minute's notice. I don't have to be told, you know, I'm like a smart person. I don't have to be told the same thing and the same words every single day.
So he went on to say that he doesn't need these if he's in every day anyway, if he's in office for the next 8 years. So how did this go over, Francesca? Talk about some of the reaction to that.
Well, Democrats hit him for that, saying that he needs to be taking these briefings every single day. And, you know, even the White House said that this is very important for him to listen to these people who are giving him this information. Afterwards, his incoming chief of staff, however, made it clear that he was getting intelligence briefings every day. He just wasn't getting the presidential daily briefing specifically every other day, but still he was getting that every couple days, not once a week as had been previously reported. So there's that, first of all. And then, of course, you have a former acting CIA director, Mike Morrell, saying, listen, this is a situation where the briefing is being prepared for President Barack Obama in the way that he likes to consume it, not in the way that it would be prepared for President Trump. And he could change the way that it's prepared for him in a way that he might find more useful once he gets into office.
Yeah, people have pointed out that Donald Trump had been critical of President Obama for not reading some of the security briefings. Maybe on both sides, too much is being made over the exact format of a briefing.
Well, that's, again, certainly what his incoming chief of staff is saying, that this is being completely and totally overblown. And the White House, again, also saying that President Trump might change his behavior and change his perspective on this once he gets into office.
And then moving on, Donald Trump met today, as we mentioned earlier, with some leaders in the technology industry, the heads of a bunch of big internet and technology companies, not Twitter, it looks like. You'd written a preview of this. I understand no reporters were there, so we don't know exactly what happened behind the closed doors. But can you talk about the significance of this meeting, Francesca?
Yes, reporters were only allowed in briefly just to be able to see who was in the meeting. But there are two names that stand out in this meeting that he had. Jeff Bezos from Amazon, who also owns the Washington Post, was there, and also Tim Cook from Apple. But Bezos and Trump had a little bit of bad blood in the past because Trump had said that Amazon was getting away with dodging taxes, essentially, and then using the Washington Post to have power. So they certainly have a few things to talk about. And then, of course, on top of that, Tim Cook is someone who had raised money for Hillary Clinton, and others in that meeting had raised money for Hillary Clinton as well. And so I'm very much looking forward to see what they talked about after that meeting, which was ending just before we began talking on this interview.
And two points of conflict, potentially, as the years go by in the Donald Trump administration. Technology companies want these special visas to allow them to bring in foreign workers. Donald Trump has had issues, of course. Immigration has been a big issue for him, cracking down on it. And then these are all companies that are big on international trade. They transcend boundaries in a lot of ways. Donald Trump isn't wild about the current state, anyway, of a lot of trade deals. Do you see, even if this meeting went well today, do you see that there might be conflict here in the next year or so?
There's certainly the possibility for that, and something else they possibly talked about, given all of the discussion about the Russian hacking, is also cybersecurity. The Obama administration has tried to forge a very good relationship with these companies on that issue, trying to get the private sector to work with the government to try and identify these hacks sooner, identify some of this behavior, and figure out what they can do working together to prevent it and address it when it happens. But that gets into privacy issues as well, and that's been a source of conflict for this administration that probably won't go away for the next one.
Talking to Francesca Chambers from the Daily Mail, looking at some of the big stories in national politics, a lot of it, of course, related to the transition toward a Donald Trump presidency. You mentioned, Francesca, the Russian hacking allegations in this year's election. Democrats, including now Hillary Clinton and the White House, looking for more investigations into Russian influence, some Republicans in the Senate as well. And now Hillary Clinton's campaign saying, hey, electors should get this information. They get a briefing about Russian influence in the election before they cast their Electoral College votes on the 19th. So what are they looking for there?
The Clinton campaign was frustrated the entire last month of the election, frankly, by what they felt was the lack of attention that the hacking itself was getting. News outlets were reporting on what was in all of these emails in John Podesta's account, and some of that information was damaging in terms of conversations that occurred between the Clinton campaign staff and within the Clinton Foundation. But they felt that the idea that these emails were stolen and that Russia was trying to influence the election, and as they said at this time, to influence it in favor of Donald Trump, that's what the Clinton campaign was claiming at that time, they felt that that was not getting enough tension at the time. And so now they're trying to bring more light to that and say, look, this is what we've been trying to say. And the Obama administration has taken the same approach to that, really highlighting this and saying, at the same time, that the news media should have covered it more from that angle and really putting pressure on the media as well.
And more generally, there's been a bipartisan group of senators, and it looks like Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is on board with this, saying, let's not do a partisan investigation of this, but let's try to see if there was foreign influence on this election. Do you see that likely moving forward?
Well, it's possible that the Senate could come up with an investigation. The House could have its own investigation. Of course, the roadblock in the House, however, is that House Speaker Paul Ryan is not on the same page with Mitch McConnell about this necessarily, and about the idea that there needs to be deep investigations into this. And so the White House has also commissioned its own review that it once done before President Obama leaves office. So there could be a series of reviews and investigations that look into this matter in both chambers and as well from the White House level.
And you've written about some electors looking for a briefing, like the one we were talking about, 9 Democrats, 1 Republican in Texas, who has said he wouldn't end up casting his ballot for Donald Trump. Even if the electors do get this briefing, that's not a sure thing. There's probably classified information that would have to be given to people without security clearances. Is there any sense out there that it's likely that anything is going to come out of the Electoral College other than, yeah, Donald Trump wins?
Well, Donald Trump is slated to receive 306 electoral votes. He needs 270 to win. So the people working against him would need to get 37 electors to not vote for him that are supposed to be voting for him. That's quite a large number, and it would be very unprecedented for that number. Like you said, there's only 1 Republican that we know of that would be planning to do that so far. A Harvard professor has said that he's heard from 20, which is not a number that's included in the whip count, and there's certainly not been that many that have come forward. But again, reaching 37 would be incredibly difficult. And even if they did, then it would go to the House of Representatives to decide, and the House of Representatives is Republican-run. So then Republicans in the House would have to determine whether or not they want to uphold the will of the people or potentially put a different Republican in. But I don't know that we're ever going to have the opportunity to continue having that discussion.
And we'll hear from Professor Lawrence Lessig on the show tomorrow in his last-ditch effort to change things in the Electoral College. And Francesca, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's always a good time on the show.
We've been talking to Francesca Chambers. She's the White House correspondent for the Daily Mail. She joins us to round up some of the latest news from the world of national politics.
Coming up after the news, new census data paints a complex picture of rural America. We'll talk to an expert about the diversity of rural experience. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network.